Welcome to Abound in Hope, a podcast from Imprint Church. Our goal is to help you see how the gospel of Jesus Christ intersects with our daily lives and compels us toward gratitude and generosity. Well, welcome back to the Welcome back to the Abound in Hope podcast. I don't know what that is. So
it's
seriously,
the dog pen.
It is. Yeah. Oh, man. No, welcome back to the Abound in Hope podcast. Not sure what that was. Sorry. But last week.
Gosh, you didn't just record that. Are
please,
you serious?
Please keep that
Can
on.
Can we keep
no!
this?
No.
Let's just see if people listen to this.
Oh, I'm going to see. Might get feedback. If you hear this, please send an email to podcast@imprintchurch.org. That says a pound in hope. That'd be great. So, but no, seriously, welcome back to the podcast. Hope you're having a great week so far. This is part two in our series of podcasts about sacraments. Last week we spent a good amount of time talking about the Lord's Supper and what it means for the church, why we do it, how to do it, all that kind of stuff. So, if you haven't heard that, that's a great precursor to this conversation. I'd encourage you to pause this, go back, find that. It's just right before this, but this week we're actually going to spend quite a bit of time talking about, drumroll,
baptism.
Yeah.
Huh? So I'm here. This is Darren with Tom McGregor.
Hey, this is Tom McGregor. I'm here with Darren.
Yeah. And I'm Rex. I'm with both of them. Sorry.
Yeah. So it's you know, we kind of thought last week about the difference between kind of what the Catholic Church sees in sacraments and what the Protestant Church does, you know, and I think ultimately what we just said is, you know, for the Protestant Church, these sacraments that we observe, which we said are, of course, the Lord's Supper and baptism, mm-hmm. these are outward signs of an inward reality. And
absolutely.
That's what baptism totally expresses. Something's happened internally to you. And you've become a follower of Jesus, and there's a next step. Interestingly enough, almost always, if not always in the Bible, there's a next step for a person who's a follower of Jesus, mm-hmm. and it is?
Baptism.
Baptism.
There you go.
Baptism.
So what is baptism? Like, if I'm saying baptism because I was a Baptist for a long time.
Yeah, I've noticed that, especially from the South.
It's true.
Like there's a Baptist or something.
I'm a good Southern boy. What is baptism? Like, just practically, what is it? If you were to go to a baptism, what would you see happening and what is actually happening?
I love how McGregor said last week how he first stepped in the church and was like, what is going on with these aliens who are taking the Lord's Supper? You had no idea. Because I can't imagine a person who's a non-believer and walking into a church and seeing someone dunked under the water and then
so
raised
like, are they
back
ritually
up?
Like sacrificing somebody,
what is
drowning
going
them,
on here? Totally, yeah. And so I mean, but that's what it is, right? I mean, baptism in the Christian church is traditionally when you bring someone into, if you're doing immersion, water baptism, which is what we practice at Imprint most of the time. We'll talk about that in a minute. But you put them in a pool or a tub or a lake or wherever, and you immerse them underwater and then hold them down for a second and then bring them back up. And typically you say the words, you know, buried with Christ and risen again to new life, you know. Mm. And so you have this symbolic thing that happens. Mm. And so it's a little weird, but it's not that it's not founded in Christianity or in the Bible. This is, we get it from the Bible. We very much see this as a New Testament practice all the way from Jesus's day, of baptism being a something that someone observes to find their place in the faith community.
Yeah. What is it? What does that look like? Cause I mean, again, Jesus, if you come on the scene, you know, in, let's say Gospel of Mark, Gospel of Matthew, any of the four gospels, mm-hmm. after having read the Old Testament, you come on the scene and there's this Jesus guy.
Yeah.
And he shows up and he goes to a guy named John, mm-hmm. the baptizer. He's mm-hmm. not like a Baptist, so it's funny, but John the baptizer. And he, says, hey, baptize me. Like, mm-hmm. what's going on there? Why, where did this show up in the midst of, you know, in that gap between the Testaments, I guess?
Yeah,
where
totally.
Did baptism come from?
You know, it's interesting. I remember studying the history of baptism years ago, and I think there was even instances of baptism that happened all the way back in Old Testament, like way pre-days. Like, and I think there was even baptism into different types of religious practices as well. And actually what you find about Christianity, and this probably is a different podcast as well, is that there are some adaptations of ancient practices in Christianity that we've definitely stolen from other things that we've kind of
repurposed.
And,
yeah.
And I think baptism is one of those. And it's really, you're baptizing yourself into a new community, a new way of life. And I think that's where it came from. Hence Jesus doing it as well. When he comes in the scene, he's baptizing as really an example. You know, even the Bible tells us that there were people who were baptized in John's baptism, right? Mm-hmm. There was a different baptism there. So there was a master, a follower, you're baptized into that community. Well, Jesus comes along the scene, gets baptized, and what happens? The Father speaks and says, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." You know, it's like, I have a new baptism for you now. This is the way to do this. And it's like, that's where this whole thing ended up happening. And then we see from the early church in Acts chapter 2 onward, from Peter's famous sermon at Pentecost, as being, this is the practice of the early church. And this is where we are supposed to continue to do as a church community as well.
Gotcha. So you say that, you know, obviously Peter mentions it in Acts 2. Mm-hmm. Do you have that pulled up where you could kind of read that for us?
Yeah, Acts 2, this is in verses 38 through 41. Again, right after Peter had preached this sermon to all these people and who'd heard it and seen the Spirit of God fall. And Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself." And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, "Save yourselves from this crooked generation." So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. Man, great. I mean, even look at this in verse 38, you're baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Here's, "Behold my beloved Son, listen to him." You know, there's a picture of this happening. The giving of the Holy Spirit at baptism here is an interesting thing. We could talk about the fact this is for all the people there and for all the children and those who are far off, which, by the way, is code word for Gentiles in the Bible, always is. If you're far from God, you're Gentile. And so, which is a really cool picture of what's happening there at Pentecost. And then these people decided to receive the word, and instantly, like their next step, they were baptized, which becomes a pattern for us as a church. Yeah.
So Jesus has the Spirit show up at his baptism. Seems like we get the Spirit at baptism. Is that why you get baptized? He asks knowingly.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, maybe we should flip that one.
If you
back
heard a
on...
cracking sound, there's a can of worms showing up.
Oh
here,
man, so. Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's different traditional Christian tradition viewpoints on this very topic, you know. But what's interesting is that most of us would know, if you've studied your Bible, of course, before Pentecost, there wasn't a giving of the Holy Spirit on a what do you call it? Like a normal basis for a person who's a follower of God, of Christ, if you will. But from the time of Pentecost on, a very real, tangible sign of becoming a follower of Jesus is the gift of the Holy Spirit, you know? And so I think in this way, what this moment is actually referring to in Acts chapter 2 is more an inauguration of a new day of salvation where the Holy Spirit is given.
Such a great answer.
Oh, thanks, man. Yeah. I'm making this up as I go. You didn't ask me questions that are not in the script.
Yeah, there's nothing in the script here. You just pounced on them. Our script says, talk about baptism. So
yeah, seriously. It really does. Yeah, go over the Imprint Church document on
baptism.
That's
what it says.
And the end says, get baptized on August 23rd.
Yeah, it's true.
We'll talk about that.
Yeah,
at the
we
end
will.
Too. But so I think this picture is not necessarily the equation of baptism with, with the Holy Spirit. What is normative, though, is that the Holy Spirit comes upon believers now at the moment of salvation, which we see throughout Scripture as well.
Yeah.
It just so happened at Pentecost here, we get the bonus of baptism along with the gift of the Spirit that happens after the ascension of Jesus Christ, who is now sitting at the right hand of the Father, you know, so... I'm not necessarily, you know, if you come and get baptized in Imprint Church, the Holy Spirit is probably not going to come on you in that very same moment in the way that it came on at Pentecost. You know, hey, I mean, the Lord can do anything he wants
absolutely.
To.
Absolutely.
But I don't think that's what this text is saying. And I think that it's very different. But it is setting a pattern for us as the church to baptize people when they believe in Jesus Christ.
Yeah. So we talked about the sacraments here being... you know, a ceremonial thing, being something that's to be used as a reminder for us. In Acts 2, it does say, repent, and then it says, be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins.
Yeah.
What do we do with that
as
believers? If we're saying this isn't something that actually applies grace to our lives, this is something that is a reminder or a step forward in grace. How do we unpack that?
Yeah, I think Tom should handle that one. That's a pretty tough
that's
one.
True. You got pounced.
Yeah. I mean, I completely agree with Darren. This is a unique moment, that happens. I mean, gosh, it's so profound what happens in this chapter, but, I think Peter really, and together, remember, this is like, they all stand up and they preach the gospel, but mm-hmm. Peter is the mouthpiece. So mm-hmm. there's like this group evangelistic effort and they preach the gospel in whole.
Yeah.
And man, if you ever want an outline of what the gospel is, just spend a lot of time in Acts 2 mm-hmm. and just break it into three categories: what God does, what we do to respond, and what happens or what we get. Mm-hmm. And so I think that what he's calling for is a change of direction, a change of orientation, and the repentance.
Good.
And that's kind of like that's the moment of salvation, really, mm-hmm. is when the Holy Spirit empowers a person to recognize that I am not God in my own life.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about getting your act together. Mm. It's just about acknowledging who is really Lord in this universe. Mm. And so like, what should you do when you want to like be a part of a different family? Well, in the ancient world, and when you wanted to be a part of a different family, you got baptized into it.
Yeah.
And so you've become a part of the family of God. And so you should do this like outward ceremony that is evidence of an inward change.
Hmm.
And then he says like whose name it is, of course, just to make it explicit.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus himself in Matthew 28 says, I baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Yep.
And I don't think Peter's going off script here.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's following the Spirit rather than the letter of scripture.
Yeah.
Well,
even him knowing the fact that Jesus Christ is the one who offers this forgiveness of sins.
Yeah.
You know, this is your repent, and it, at its basic level, becoming a Christian means repenting of your sins and believing in Jesus, right?
Yeah, so, and receiving you get that. Forgiveness of your sins, not from baptism, but as part of the whole package.
Yep, mm-hmm. Totally.
And it's all about Jesus here, which, man, it's really beautiful. And then he says, and like, this is also another thing you get the life of God, which has like been the promise from page one, mm-hmm. That like humans are made to receive the life of God mm-hmm. in the Holy Spirit. So,
mm-hmm.
There you go.
That's a good answer, man.
My answer is.
Yeah, no, great job.
Yeah. And that's so clear in this way that salvation does not get imparted through the act of baptism. That's not what's going on here. Peter's expressing what's happening. You said that really well, in the grand scheme of God's design and plan. And so it's not like you have to be, you know, baptism gives you any kind of salvation, which is interesting. I came to faith in Christ at, the non-denominational Christian church, which is actually kind of a denomination, you know?
Yeah.
And part of their belief system was you had to be baptized in order to be saved. It was baptismal regeneration, you know, which is the fancy term for that. And I went to this camp as a high school kid and heard the gospel and responded to the gospel, but I didn't get baptized the next day. And so I think, I'm not sure if everyone totally believed that I totally bought the gospel or not, you know, but I knew in my heart that I was saved. I knew that the mm-hmm. Lord had done a transforming work in my heart that night. And I was, you know, I don't think that because I was not choosing to get baptized in that moment, mm-hmm. that it wasn't a salvation moment for me.
Yeah.
I think rather baptism actually becomes an illustration, and Peter even breaks it down in all these pieces here in this very speech in Acts 2:38.
Well, and even in Acts where like the Gentile believers get found out and they haven't received the Holy Spirit yet. And they're like, well, whose baptism did you get?
Totally.
John's mm-hmm. baptism of repentance.
Yep.
And I think that what's going on there is more like, man, this is before Paul's whole missionary journey mm-hmm. thing. And so like nobody really knows that Gentiles, they say, and the theology of the Old Testament includes the Gentiles being gathered into the people of Israel.
Yeah.
So they know that this is going to be part of the plan, but nobody's really seen it in action.
Yeah.
And so that moment is more of a confirmation
yep.
from the apostolic source,
yep.
rather than about how this all goes together.
Interesting enough, the Spirit of God was poured out through baptism in that experience too,
yeah.
Which is cool. It's the reminder of God's plan from, like you said, from the beginning, to that the, in particular, in this case, the Jewish people would be a light to the Gentiles, mm-hmm. and be ultimately a blessing to the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Isn't that awesome? Totally. So that brings up something, you know, Darren, you talked about, being saved at camp. You weren't baptized mm-hmm. the next day. Mm-hmm. When should a person be baptized? Is there like an expiration date? Like if you receive salvation, but then you don't get baptized, you have to do it again? Or like, yeah. I know this is probably a good chance for us to talk about
great
different
questions.
Traditions of baptism, yep. as well, like yep. paedo baptism or credo baptism.
Good question.
How do we make sense of all of that?
Yeah.
Like when do we get baptized? Why do we get baptized when we do?
I don't necessarily, this goes to description and prescription again in the Bible. Mm-hmm. You know, there's description of things happening in the Bible. Are they always prescription? Some churches make them be, some people don't, you know. I think for us, what we have seen in looking through this, and as a church, we had to at some point come down to some sort of agreement on what to do with this, frankly. And so we see the description in Scripture of a person when they receive the good news of Jesus Christ by faith and they repent of their sins, they are baptized. We've mm-hmm. said that already in this podcast. And we see this all throughout the book of Acts, as a reminder of what the pattern is. And so we practice of what we say at Imprint Church, we practice what we call credo baptism, which is a fancy way of saying credo means just, I believe, mm-hmm. I believe baptism. So it's a confession of faith followed by baptism. And that's kind of what we end up doing at Imprint Church as a pattern, mm-hmm. following mostly the description of Scripture, but we're not angry about it. You know, we've said this before. And so you'd mentioned this idea of paedo baptism, which is really interesting. And you'll run into churches in the Reformed tradition that'll do this, Presbyterian or Reformed Church of America. And you'll run this in the Catholic Church as well. Mm-hmm. But again, we talked about that last week and how it's very different than the Protestant view of mm-hmm. this. But in the Reformed tradition or the Presbyterian tradition, they do paedo baptism, which means children, right? You'll mm-hmm. baptize kids. And before the age of accountability, if you will, mm-hmm. They baptize them to help them be part of the family, part of the covenant family. It has some allusions to Old Testament, right, Tom?
Yeah. Genesis 17. You think about the sign of the covenant yep. for Abraham is circumcision, and then for and God says like, This is a sign forever,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Which is really tricky if you're reading your Bible closely and mm-hmm. you realize Paul says, nah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you got to make sense of that, but mm-hmm. that's also a different podcast. Yeah, I think we have a list of like five already.
Yeah, we do.
The more we talk, the more we realize we need to create more podcasts. Yeah.
Circumcision next week.
You guys can do that one.
By the way, we're not having church circumcisions in a couple weeks or anything like that.
So. That did sound like he said that.
It did.
Circumcisions 2 weeks from now.
Yeah, gosh. Yeah, last week we did. I mean, I'm just thinking last week we did the Lord's Supper, and then we did the Lord's Supper last week. Yeah. We're doing baptism, and we're doing baptisms in like a week or two, and just don't want to get people the wrong impressions.
3 weeks' time. Wow. Oh, okay. Anyway, sorry, we're going off topic.
So, that would be amazing. I couldn't keep a straight face, though.
Oh, man, totally.
So, it becomes the sign of the covenant. And, you know, 8-year-old or 8-day-old kids mm-hmm. can't make a choice about whether or not they want to be a part of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And to some extent, they don't have a choice. They were born into ethnic Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And so it becomes like just a sign that you are, in fact, a part of mm-hmm. the people of God.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Reformed tradition says, well, like, what do we do with our kids? Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. we want them to be a part of the people. And like, it seems like there's precedent.
Mm-hmm.
Theologically, it seems like this is a sign of the covenant. Mm-hmm. Jesus made it kind of mm-hmm. the sign. And at least in that tradition, that's what they're saying. And so we're going to keep it going. Now, it's important to note that with the Reformed tradition, they don't say this is effectual.
That's correct.
It's not like, once you've been baptized when you were, you know, 8 days old, you're saved.
You're saved forever. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Nope.
It's an incorporation thing.
In fact, they do
confirmation and catechesis and that kind of thing later on.
At 12 years old, I think, if
something
I remember
like
right.
That, yeah.
One of my good friends was born in from the Dutch Reformed tradition, and he was baptized as an infant and yep. then did his confirmation and really valued that. In fact, that brings me to, were you done? Do you have a little more to say?
Oh, no, that was it.
Okay, yeah. So that brings me to a real practical point on this one. So at Imprint Church, we have people here who hold to both views of baptism, infant baptism.
Which is super cool.
Yeah, it is super cool. And credo baptism, or, you know, I believe baptism, confessional baptism. We have people that believe both those things, and we want to offer some Christian freedom in that, you know? And so, however, here's the sticky point for us. We don't practice infant baptism here at Imprint Church. We're not a Reformed church tradition or Presbyterian or something like that. So we don't have that background to be influencing us to do that. But also mainly because we don't see it as much explicitly in the scriptures, you know? And so again, we had to make kind of a judgment call on this, not picking a fight with our brothers and sisters in the Reformed backgrounds or those traditions, but rather just saying, hey, we had to choose something for our church practices, our ceremony, as we talked about last week as well. And so, you know, we've said what we do instead of infant baptism, we do family dedications here, you know?
Yeah, family dedications. It's a similar kind of thing, because when in credo baptism, again, it's like the church here is saying, taking responsibility for this child as being part of the community,
that's
of the
right.
church. And
that's
so
right.
Similar to Imprint Church, that, at least that's the vision of, I was about to say that's the vision of infant baptism in Imprint Church. That's not it. That's the vision of
no
family dedications.
Clips that and post that.
Yeah, for sure. That's the vision for family dedications and you know, child dedications here at Imprint Church, is that we want to see these children as part of our community, and thus we are all responsible for raising them up in the Lord.
You aimed one more question, by the way, as well, and that is the practice of when you should get baptized.
Yeah.
I think you'd said that originally, and it even leads to this idea of like, should you ever be rebaptized?
Yeah.
You know? So if a person was infant baptized, should they get rebaptized? I think we should.
I almost
jump
asked you that
quick?
Question. I didn't want to trip you up again.
I think we should chat about it. So when a person should get baptized, we've answered, you know, when you put your faith in Christ, we think that's pretty clear. So the question is, should you get rebaptized? If you were baptized as an infant and you didn't have a part in it, you've heard this and you've read the Bible and you've said, maybe I should get baptized again. Well, let's put it this way. I think, and you guys can argue with me if you want, that's the fun part about these things. Some of this is just shooting from the hip. If you were baptized as an infant in a Catholic church, you could very well choose to get baptized in a Christian and a Protestant church and a denominational, you know, some sort of denominational church that's in the Protestant tradition, because that is a different baptism that we're talking about in the Christian tradition. You know, that's as you said a minute ago, effectual baptism. It's meant to pass on salvation, which is not what we as Protestants believe. So I think if you were in a Catholic church upbringing and you were baptized as an infant, you could consider getting rebaptized as an adult, as a credo baptism, as a confessing your faith in Jesus and getting baptized. However, if you're born and raised in the Presbyterian church or something like that, and you're like, man, I was infant baptized. I went through my catechism and went through confirmation and I confirmed my baptism and all that kind of stuff. And I don't really feel like I need to get baptized again. Honestly, friends, we're not going to fight you on that one. You know, like there's no reason to. There's bigger fish to fry in the world right now. And we've kind of been able to say like, man, you can be a meaningful part of our church and still hold to that. As long as you're okay with not knowing that we're not going to do infant baptisms here.
Yeah. I'd apply the same standard though to the Catholic baptism.
Interesting. Oh yeah.
So, because somebody,
you're getting heretical here, my friend.
Here's the thing. Just because somebody says something's true doesn't mean it is, right?
Yep.
So just because the Catholic Church says this infant baptism is effectual, it doesn't mean that it is.
That's true.
But if you got baptized as an infant and you went through confirmation and you did all the like Catholic stuff of first communion and all that kind of stuff, and as a kid and an adolescent and an adult, you had a genuine faith in Jesus, and you look back on that as like, well, I don't care what they thought it meant, but for me that was legit, in the same way that somebody that grew up in the Reformed tradition did, I'd say good on you.
Wow. I'm impressed. It kind of blew my mind a little bit. I don't know what to think about that right now, but
that's okay. I don't know if I'm like,
I like it,
stepping outside of historic orthodoxy on that one. I know that
I have a hard time believing that would be the thing that would pull you out of orthodoxy. Personally, I think there's much other things that are out there.
Yeah, there's plenty of things. McGregor might not be on the podcast next week.
Church discipline or something like that.
Yeah, no, totally. I don't know. I haven't I'd have to think about the Catholicism side of things. I think I agree with the more Reformed tradition stuff. Mm-hmm. I think it'd be hard for me if, you know, someone like Tim Keller, you know, mm-hmm. pastor in New York City, decided he wanted to come imprint church. It'd be hard for me to look him in the eyes and say, hey, I need to baptize you again.
Yeah.
Guys like that. I don't know. I think, I do think for, I think, I don't know, for on the Catholic side of things, I think there is, the intentions behind what we do matter. And so I probably, without thinking about it too much, I would probably still push people towards rebaptism in that point.
Would too at the moment. So. I'm willing to learn, but
So I agree. Intentions behind things matter, but little baby Reformed kid doesn't mm-hmm. have any intentions.
That's true. Yeah.
That's true. Neither does the little Catholic baby have any intentions. Yeah. And so this was like I think the third or fourth century, this was the big question. Mm-hmm. Is a baptism effectual if the bishop later is either declared a heretic or recants his faith uh-huh. during persecution? Mm-hmm. And there was a
huge
big fight
that.
In the church huh. over, like, it's not effectual if the guy turns out to be a scumbag. And it's like... So my baptism is up to somebody else's intentions?
Yeah, totally. Man,
I definitely would not take it that far. I would say, because if you're being baptized into Jesus' family, it's like, what is Jesus?
Yeah,
say?
Not into the Catholic Church.
Yeah, yeah. I'd say what is even for the Reformed tradition, they'd say like we're not saying this is effectual, but we're saying like we are. Doing this basically in faith that this person will step into the family of God, you mm-hmm. know, mm-hmm. In Jesus' name, we're doing this,
yeah.
You know,
well, what's interesting is we're jumping into the idea that you don't actually have to be baptized to be saved.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
You know, I mean, that's kind of,
and just because you have been baptized doesn't mean you're saved.
I will say, Darren, one thing you say all the time, or I heard you say, and I'm sure you said you were quoting somebody, but like baptism is literally the easiest thing Jesus will ever ask you to do.
It's true. It's true. Yeah, I heard someone say that once. I can't even remember who it was now, but it was like the light went on in my mind. I'm like, oh yeah, there's so many other things in our
Can
life.
Can you come talk to my church?
So difficult. Yeah. But just get baptized. Oh, that's pretty easy. I know some people get self-conscious about getting in the water
definitely,
in front of people.
Definitely.
And
I also know some people have it in mind as this big event. I think some people think of it like, oh, brother, where art thou? Where everybody's singing in white robes and they walk down to the river
Kinda
and they
cool.
get dunked. And that, I mean, while
that's
that,
an amazing
while that
scene
would be
that movie,
awesome,
by the way.
I do think that there is something... there's something starkly normal about mm-hmm. being dipped in water as well. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it's a chance for, it's good for the person being baptized. It's like, this is me stepping in and, understanding like I am buried with Jesus. The water's doing that. Yep. And then at the same time for the people watching, it's they're there, you know, confirming and applauding. And then for the world that's watching, if someone there is not a believer, this is an outward thing that doesn't make sense if they were to wander in. So,
and here's what you should know in that is that we celebrate with you in that mm-hmm. way. It's like we say with our Imprint Cares ministry is that your gift of need is as important as someone else's gift of giving
mm-hmm.
For the church community. Like your gift of baptism helps build our church community because you're actually identifying with Christ in his death and resurrection, and you're identifying with the church of God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so, man, we would encourage you. I mean, we have a baptism coming up on August 23rd, which is, I think, at the time this plays, it will probably be
next
this
week
Sunday or
something
like
that. Yeah, so we really would. It's a high point for obviously for everyone who serves on the Imprint's lead team, but then also just being a part of the community while a baptism is happening. It's like Super Bowl Sunday. It's mm-hmm. awesome.
It's so great.
It's better than Super Bowl Sunday. I don't really even watch football. I don't know why I said that. So let me say this. Let me ask you this. I know I just said, you know, being dunked in the water, you know, I'm Baptist, so we hold you under till you bubble a little bit. You know, I know that some traditions are sprinklers, some traditions are those that dunk. What's the difference here, and how do we make sense of that? I mean, I know that they're, you know, baptism, the word baptizo, it's a Greek word, and it literally just means to dip or submerge.
Totally.
So what do we do with...
hence we take the idea of that descriptive word, that very descriptive word in Greek, which, you know, kind of gives it a submission or a submersion idea. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we take that to be kind of the practices that we have is to dunk someone in a tub here. Mm-hmm. And so that's typically what we do. However, we would consider for extenuating circumstances to do sprinkling or pouring or whatever it might be. Some churches do those things. Again, they're not, we don't have necessarily in the Bible. The table of contents has at the very bottom how to do baptisms as well. You know, that's not something that the Lord decided to include in his word.
So no joke, funny story. This morning, my wife, I looked over and she was reading the preface of her Bible. And I was like, wait a minute, what? So anyway, sorry.
That's awesome.
Random thought.
So I'll just say, if a person has some health issues or if they can't get in the tub or whatever it is, we've had people, I've baptized someone who's in a wheelchair before that couldn't get in the tub. So we've done a pouring in that sense. And so we would do those as well. And as we would do a normal baptism, we'd celebrate with the family of God in front of the family of God. And so typically we're going to, if we would tell people, if you are able, get in the tub, you know, it's the easiest thing Jesus will ask you to do and be baptized in that way. So, but there are extenuating circumstances that will allow.
Gotcha. Well, I guess, you know, I want to start wrapping things up here. We've been talking for a second, but what would you say to someone who's listening to this right now who has apprehensions about being baptized?
Yeah.
Either of you, I'd say.
Yeah, I'd say talk to somebody about it.
Yeah.
Of course. Don't just kind of stew on it. But I'd encourage you, it is a command of Jesus that's repeated by the apostles. And if the Lord God who created the universe says, this is what I would like you to do, I think you should strongly consider
yes,
it.
Yes, sir. That's a good word. I think so too. This isn't to guilt you into something or to even do something weird. You know, it's actually a pattern of the church. And
there's blessing in obedience.
Absolutely.
So really there's something about it that, I don't know, it's going to be amazing.
And honestly, here's the weird thing. And I you know, again, go back to that whole thing. Peter says that when you get baptized, you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Not to get too Pentecostal on us at all, but man, I remember my baptism day, right? Mm-hmm. And there was, I'm not going to say that like the Holy Spirit was poured out of me in some supernatural way, but I am going to say that there was something supernatural about that moment. It was a beautiful moment, and it was one of those things that I would look back on forever. And I hope people in our church community experience that same thing, where there's something about that moment that's more than just like the practical and being dunked underwater and pulled back out. But there's something that God is doing in a person's life in that moment in front of the church community that is beautiful, significant, and again, supernatural, that the Lord is working in a person's life in that moment.
Absolutely. And I do think, again, it's such just a beautiful picture, you know, to, I guess, winding things down. We are buried with Jesus. We go down under the water with baptism unto death, and then we're raised to walk in newness of life. When we come out of the water, you know, we are, obviously we're soaked. We are different than when we went down.
That's right.
It's not, you know, we are not, saved by any act other than the act of Jesus dying on the cross. But there is something special and changing and pivotal about baptism. Mm-hmm. So we'd encourage you to take that step of obedience, to reach out to us if you do have any apprehensions or questions. We have a document on this. So if you have any questions about that or you'd like to see that, you can find it on our website or send us an email at podcast@imprintchurch.org. But seriously, consider getting baptized. By the time this podcast comes out, it's quick, but we would love to talk to you about that. So please do that, jump in, and we will see you next week.
Awesome. Take care.
Thanks for listening. For more information and resources from Imprint Church, you can download our app or head to imprintchurch.org.